Well, welcome to Unity's another service here at Unity Center of Light in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service from our home to your home today. Before we get started, I'd like to just take the time to thank all of you who have been sending in your wonderful donations to help us during this, you know, very interesting and challenging time. Not only does it help Unity Center of Light to continue to provide these services, but also it supports us in helping the neighborhood, so to speak. We've been supporting the Bowie Food Pantry, which has been feeding people during these challenging times, and giving out school supplies to kids who can't afford those. So your donations go a long ways in helping Unity Center of Light to carry out its mission. And also on Monday nights, tomorrow night, we do it about every other week, but tomorrow night, Monday, the 27th, we're going to be at 7 o'clock, we're going to be continuing our called Courageous Conversations, talking about the racial unrest that's going on in the country right now. So if you have not joined us in one of those, please do. You can get the information from the e-newsletter or from the weekly update that comes. And now we're going to start our service with Pamela. Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for Sunday, July 26th. The key phrase is pray for others, and the affirmation is, I affirm truth for everyone I hold in prayer. I am honored by the trust people place in me when they ask for prayer support. As I pray for others, I see each one for whom I pray as divine and know the truth that each one is a living expression of God. My purpose in prayer is not to focus on the particulars of a situation, but to hold a higher view. As I center in prayer, I hold the vision that all challenging circumstances are moving toward a satisfying resolution in one way or another. I release all thoughts about the situation that prompted the prayer need and focus on the activity of God. As I pray, I see the life, the love, the wisdom, and the power of God at work, healing, strengthening, and establishing peace in all those for whom I pray. The scripture is Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Amen. Now we'll have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So when we get started today, I wanted to show a slide that explains some of the ideas that I've been kind of pictorially drawing over the last several weeks. And you've been hearing me talk about the crack in the cosmic egg. Let me just see if this will work. So, you know, if you remember me talking about the crack in the cosmic egg, this right here represents what I'm saying is the cosmic egg. This I am is our pure Christ potential. These layers that you see around it are all of the things that the reactions that we've had to life that cause us to feel separated from the truth of our being, cause us to feel separated from our Christ self. If you notice, you know, I got these two little eyeballs here, and I put that little lightning bolt like just about where the third eye would be, and that is what creates the crack in the cosmic egg. I don't know if you can actually see my cursor moving, but what happens is that we have these epiphanies where we tap into the truth of our I am, but because it's such a tiny opening, and life continues to happen, it just closes right back on us. So what we're working on is, how do I begin to remove these layers? And these layers are actually not only our reactions to life, but it has a lot of karmic energy in it as well. And this triangle, which many of you have seen me do before, you know, this is kind of the basis of our reality, the Christ self. We mostly deal with the personal self, family, and career. But the more time you spend in prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, the more you begin to tap into this realm down here. If you're finding you're having a challenge with your personal self, your family, your career, the way that you, yes, there are many other ways that we can, you know, professional help that we can get to help us out. But through prayer, meditation is where you really tap into this Christ self and begin to bring that up through this realm to help you to live life more abundantly. Now, if you notice here, I've got these arrows going down. What that's saying is that, you know, career to family to personal self should all be moving back down into the idea of the Christ self. And notice these different as a personal self, family, and career, you notice they are tapping into aspects of the egg, but they can never really get into the truth, the real spiritual dynamic I am that we're all striving to get to. But the Christ self has direct access to that. Okay, so I just wanted to share that that idea, and you know, hopefully, if you look at the YouTube video later on, you'll get more of an idea of what that's all about. So, moving on, we know we're still talking about this. What do you call it? How am I saying this? Whose am I really? Okay, and this is part four. I want to start off by reading. It's a pretty long Bible verse, but it's going to set the scene for the rest of the talk. And this is from Mark 10, 35 through 45. So you can hear it's a long verse, but it's kind of interesting in terms of what's happening. So James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came to Jesus and said to him, now try to picture this. They come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, we want you to do something for us. You know, we want you to do whatever we ask of you," is what they said. And so Jesus said to them, "Well, what is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." Now, just trying to think of the ego dynamics there. That they come, that is two out of the 12 come to Jesus, left, you know, not even letting the 12 know they're doing this, and say, "We want you to put us at your right and your left." Now Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking, right? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" So he's saying to them, drinking the cup that I'm drinking. In other words, he's saying the things that I am striving to do, the cup that I'm drinking from, in terms of things I'm trying to accomplish, you can't even comprehend them right now. Okay, and to be baptized with the baptism which I'm going to be baptized with, that means to be baptized is washing away all of the dynamics of our whole spirit, mind, body, soul that are keeping us from truly connecting with what I said, what I showed you in this schematic was the Christ self. Okay, well, they said to him, so he said, you know, you won't be able to do this. And they said to him, "Well, we're able to do it." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant," all right? "But it is for those for whom it has been prepared." So what he's saying to them is that, okay, you know, come on, you know, I'll give you a shot, you know, see if you can do what I do. If you're willing to sacrifice the way I'm sacrificing, you know, I'll give you a shot. But he said, "I can't grant you to sit at my right and my left." He said, "That's not something that I can do." Now, when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant, okay? You know, at James and John. I mean, you know, who do they think they are, right? So Jesus called them to him, and he called the disciples over, and he said to them, you know that, because what they're saying is that, basically is, why can't I sit at his right hand and left hand? Why can't I be, you know, his special one? And Jesus said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, they lord over them. In other words, you know, they show their power over them. But he said, those who are greater than them exercise authority over them. So he's saying, people of authority exercise that authority over those who are below them. But he said, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're going to talk about what that means a little later. So the purpose of this lesson is to ask ourselves, what glimpse of faith, love, peace, and joy can I give to the people I encounter, regardless of whether or not my needs are being served? In other words, it's sort of asking, can you serve without needing to be served? Okay. Now, there's some challenging ideas in this lesson, but, you know, just stick with me. So in other words, am I capable of serving others without needing to be served in return? So this is what Jesus was explaining to the disciples when he stated, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And even though we might be able to somewhat understand that part of the scripture, the rest of that sentence may take a little time to, you know, comprehend, because Jesus continues his statement with, and to give his life as a ransom for the many. Now, this is a tough lesson. The word ransom means the price demanded for the release of something. The exchange or ransom referred to here is within ourselves, to let go of a lot of the stuff that's blocking us from what I'm going to talk about in a minute, self-mastery, and blocking us from really tapping into the true spiritual aspects of our being. So this scripture is teaching the methodology for gaining greater spiritual awareness by releasing or giving up our ego need for sensory or emotional gratification. And yes, I know, from an ego perspective, you may be thinking this sounds strange, even ridiculous, right? To give up our need for ego gratification or sensory gratification, okay? And so I agree with you that it does. It does sound strange, but that's the nature of the spiritual path. It's the idea that what we consider exciting in our lives, the things that, you know, really get us pumped up and exciting in life, is nothing compared to what one who has reached spiritual consciousness experiences. So if we paraphrase what Jesus said to John the Baptist, I'm going to paraphrase it, the greatest experience you can have in the kingdom of earth is nothing compared to the least experience you can have in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. And again, remember, we're talking about consciousness. So in terms of achieving true joy and fulfillment from the viewpoint of a spiritually evolved consciousness, it is something that right now we can't even imagine. You know, yes, we can imagine the things that make us happy now that just, you know, cause us to be overjoyed now. We can imagine what those are. But we can't really comprehend what does it mean to tap into the joy of the kingdom of heaven consciousness. And we're going to try to, you know, get a crack in the cosmic egg in this lesson that we're doing today. So as I mentioned in last week's lesson, Shaolin Buddhist monk Master Shihang Yi explains that the first of the five hindrances to self-mastery is sensual desire, which is referring to the tendency to allow our need to gratify our five senses to pull us away from our attempt at self-mastery. Now, you can look at that at all different levels. You say you're going on a diet and you're not going to eat any sweets, okay? Well, self-mastery goes out the window when you pass by the refrigerator and see the pie and like, nah, I'm doing this, I'll do that tomorrow. So I'm saying you can apply to all different kinds of things where our sensory, our need for sensory gratification can knock us off the path to self-mastery, and it's different for everybody, okay? Everybody has their own, I don't want to call them just addictions, but our habitual things that we do that it's hard for us to break, okay? But there are things that are hindering us from really tapping into the truth of our being and developing some self-mastery. Now, the second hindrance that the Buddhist monk said to self-mastery is ill will, okay? Which is hostility, animosity, bitterness, unkindness, spite, resentment. And I can go on, but I think, you know, you get the idea. Ill will prevents us from being kind, compassionate, understanding when dealing with others, okay? And, you know, yes, you know, we can do it for a while, but there's always something that seems to trigger us, you know, and boom, we fall right into that thing of ill will. Now, to refresh our memory of the essence of these lessons, we were exploring, we're looking at the concept of what the ancient wisdoms said about this. So several ancient wisdom traditions, and whenever I say ancient wisdom traditions, it's usually coming from my readings of Greg Braden. So it says the idea that the only way to achieve true joy and fulfillment is by becoming a being who shares thought time with God. Remember that from last week. And Master Shi is explaining that hindrance to the self-mastery prevent us from sharing that thought time with God, okay? It's even the idea of you say, okay, I'm going to meditate every day for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, at this particular time. Boom. How many times you've done that and the day got away from you, you never did meditate, okay? So it's that self-mastery we're talking about. How do I figure out what my focus is going to be to move me to mastering my own sensory dynamics so that it can help me move more towards, you know, the spiritual consciousness I'm seeking. So the purpose of this shift here in mind dynamics from being entrenched in, listen to this, ego intellect to evolving to ego intellect being in partnership with God. You hear what I said, right? So we want to be entrenched in moving from ego intellect to evolving to ego intellect being in partnership with God. That's the first stage. And it's to create a conscious connection to the unified field of pure consciousness that bathes and permeates all of creation. All right? That's the idea of connecting with God. And over time, and this is significant, it is our spiritual goal to allow the total shift in power from our ego intellect to God. Realizing with Jesus, I of myself can do nothing. Okay, so stage one, ego intellect does some the spiritual practices needed to really create that connection with spirit. So it's ego intellect in partnership with God. But if you continue the process over time, ego intellect begins over time to take more and more of a back seat, and the idea of being tapped into this universal presence called God becomes more and more in the forefront of our minds. So listen to what these simple but profound rules from ancient traditions say are a requirement on the journey to self-mastery. And these I need to put up. Okay, so the first one is do not look for or expect a reward from others when you share your love with them. Now, some of these sound, what's the word I'm looking for? They're, you know, they're familiar, okay? We've heard this before. But do not look for or expect a reward from others when you share your love with them. Do not look for or expect a reward from God when you share your love with others. You know, there are people who have said, well, God, all the things I've done, it seems like, you know, you would give me some of the, you know, answers to the prayers that I'm asking for. That is not the way it works, okay? Number three, do not share your love with others for the purpose of getting them to like you, all right? And number four, do not share your love with others just because you feel you will somehow be punished if you do not, for example, abandonment or some other form of retaliation. And number five, do not share your love with others only when doing so is easy for you to do so, okay? So, you know, in addition, the wisdom from ancient texts explains a three-part logical progression that occurs in our journey towards self-mastery. Now, as we review these ideas, listen to how these three steps build upon each other, all right? So, the first one is the only way for us to achieve fulfillment is by achieving oneness with God, the source of all joy and fulfillment, okay? The next one is oneness with God is achieved by becoming like God in our essence, for spiritual oneness is accomplished through similarity of spiritual form. That one I know we're going to have to talk about some more, okay? And then the next one is the essence of God is one of sharing. Therefore, to become like God, We need to be transform our essence and nature from one of getting to one of sharing. Okay. And again, I know those ideas are a little bit challenging, but we're gonna work with them, you know, over in the next few minutes. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to be acknowledged or rewarded. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. Except that the problem it causes for us is that it has diverted our attention from the true source of joy and fulfillment. Okay. So as we all know, our enthusiasm over an event or a thing, you know, something happens in our lives and, you know, we get really excited about it, right? That's the thing what happens. We get excited about it and causing us to strive. Before we know it, that thing is, we're losing enthusiasm for it, and we begin to strive for the next thing. So that's not real, true fulfillment and lasting joy, because it only lasts for as long as it holds, you know, holds our consciousness, holds our thought process, holds our feelings and emotions, and then next thing you know, we're going on to the next thing. So this continuous search for the next exciting thing has become, caused us to become what I'm calling gratification junkies. You know, that's what we're getting at. That's why the Buddhist monk said that sensory desires or sensory gratification is kind of the number one thing that hinders us from self-mastery. And self-mastery is what is needed to stay focused on the spiritual path. But we are gratification junkies. We're always looking for the next thing that's going to make us excited, okay? So to explain further the idea of sharing or giving as expressed in the text of the ancient wisdom, it is not so much about physical acts of sharing and giving as it is about sharing or giving space in our consciousness to God, which we talked about a lot last week. And again, I repeat, becoming a being of sharing is about doing the work necessary to remove some of your own thinking so that you can share or give space in your consciousness to God. God being the unified field of pure consciousness that bathes and permeates all of creation. Pam and I rewatched Avatar last week. And the thing that I know I kind of saw it in the first one, but I really got it in this one, is where the people of the avatars of the, I don't remember the, you know, the island or whatever that they were in, but they had this, what was it?
Pandora,
thank you. They had this strong connection to everything, all right? To the animals, to the place they lived, the trees, the flowers, everything. They had this powerful connection to them, all right? And so, you know, and that's the thing with indigenous people, is they're very much connected to the land, to the planet. And from that, they tap into their, you know, their spiritual nature. So from a spiritual perspective, when you are in the midst of, you know, challenging encounters in your life, when you remember to share thought space with God by way of the nature of doing so, just because you're doing it, you begin to transform your thinking, okay? So the fact that things come up, and immediately, and we talked a lot about this last week, you move into a space where you begin to share some of the thinking that's going on in your mind with God. If you could get to the place where you could close all that down and just be open to spirit, but, you know, all of us are still working, you know, to get to that, you know. So, you know, what I'm looking at here is that we want to be able to get to a space where we're really conscious of all that's going on within us. All right, because a lot of times stuff comes up and people say, well, what are you thinking about? And all of a sudden we realized our mind had gone off on a journey that we weren't even aware that we were, you know, we were off onto. So I want to repeat this. This is a repeat of what we just looked at. Okay. So again, the only way for us to achieve fulfillment is by achieving oneness with God, the source of all joy and fullness, fulfillment. All right. Oneness with God is achieved by becoming like God in our essence, for spiritual oneness is accomplished through similarities of spiritual form, okay? Now, I know that needs to be explained, okay? It sounds great, but you ask, how do I become like God in my essence, all right? So we explored that process in a previous week's lesson when I talked about the practice of being mindful of your breathing, okay? Now, let's ask ourselves, what is the most obvious connection we have with God? The answer is, it is our ability to breathe the breath of life. All right, let me say that again. Our most obvious connection with God is our ability to breathe the breath of life. So in Genesis 2:7, we read, the Lord God formed of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils, formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In John 32:8, we read, but there is a spirit in humankind, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The revealing word explains that the breath of the Almighty, it is the silent movement of God within our being. So the breath of God is a silent movement of God within our being. Your breath is a silent movement of God within your being. My breath is a silent movement of God within my being. My breath is a silent movement of God within my being. Say that with me. My breath is a silent movement of God within my being. So when you think about a spiritual practice like have faith, okay, spirit, have faith. And so how much, what does it mean to have faith? Well, the process of having faith is attuning the vibration of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions with the vibration of faith that God is within you, okay? So how do you accomplish that? You tune yourself to God by way of your breath. And as we just explored, oneness with God is achieved by becoming like God in our essence. So for spiritual oneness is accomplished through similarity of form. That's what we talked about. So spiritual oneness is accomplished by similarity of spiritual form. And Jesus also said in Scripture that if you worship God, you must worship God in spirit. Okay, so you must be in that spiritual form when you are trying to connect with God. Therefore, when you remain mindful of your breath, not only are you placing your awareness of God, you are, through diligent practice, becoming one with God. So through your breath, you're taking on the similarities of spiritual form. You hear that? Through your breath, you're taking on the similarities of spiritual form. So this concept of becoming a being of sharing is not so much achieved through external acts of doing, rather it's more a process of being. That is, being continuously aware of God by way of God's physical presence in your form, which is your breath. Okay? So by doing so, staying aware of God's presence, you avail yourself of God's inspiration and God's faith. I hope that all made sense. So with that understanding, let's go another step. Again, ancient texts teach that we are in this world to transform our desire to get more spiritual things, material things. So we're here to transform our desire to get more material things into a desire to increase our awareness of God's presence in our life and in our affairs. So the question, you know, we might entertain is, will we ever reach that level of awareness? In other words, will we ever reach the level where we are more intrigued, connected to the idea of connecting with spirit than we are in accumulating spiritual things and experiences and so forth? Are we more tapped into God than we are tapped into in the material realm? Well, we find the scripture answer to that question in Matthew 24:34. Where after Jesus finished sharing a host of things that must take place to bring human consciousness into alignment with spiritual consciousness, he told the people what it's all about, okay? Then he said, it is written, truly, truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place, okay? Now, you know, we talk about the fact that we do believe in reincarnation. And I think I share with you the first 500 years of Christianity, reincarnation was a regular thought process. It's just the book never made it into the Bible, so Christians don't think about it anymore. But it's saying that we will keep going through this process until we get it, until all these things take place, all right? He said even further, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels or the Son himself know. So you like John and James were basically going to Jesus and saying, you know, we think we're ready now. And Jesus was saying, yeah, I don't really think so, right? If you really knew what you had to do to get there, you ain't ready, okay? But if you want to give it a shot, go for it, all right? So he's saying nobody knows. Jesus doesn't know, and nobody knows. Only God knows, all right? So when Jesus is saying, what Jesus is saying is, we will be transformed no matter how long it takes. Now, in the book, The Way, by Rabbi Michael Berg, he shares, it may surprise you to know that a positive outcome to the spiritual journey is guaranteed, right? So you're on this spiritual journey, and you know what? Everybody is on this spiritual journey, right? Pam and I were watching the news last night, and I don't want to get into the details, but, you know, you had to think to yourself, but everybody's on a spiritual journey. Just, it looks, sometimes it looks crazy, but we're all on this spiritual journey, all right? Now, another aspect of the ancient teachings is that our souls are evolving along a one-directional path. I actually forgot to say that in the beginning of this, that the title, of course, is Whose Am I Really? And the subtitle is One-Directional Path. So the ancient teachings is that our souls are evolving along a one-directional path. So it is not a matter of if we will ever reach a state of consciousness that is in constant communion with God. According to ancient teachings, it's only a matter of when, okay? So every soul will reach the objective even though no two souls will do so in exact the same way. Because as Rabbi Berg puts it, there are as many approaches to transformation as there are variations in faces and voices and fingerprints, okay? Mm-hmm. However, the Kabbalah and the Bible teach that even though the process of transformation of one is one directional, there are two paths one can take. The Kabbalah calls them the proactive path and the reactive path. Now, in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 30:19, it is expressed this way. Let me just bring that up. Okay, so it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. You've heard this verse before, but listen how it is. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I set before you life, which is proactive, and death, which is reactive. All right? He gave us blessings, which are proactive, and curse, which is reactive. Therefore, he recommends choose life, the proactive path. Okay? So simply, if you combine the thoughts of the Kabbalah and the Bible, you'll find that if you spend your days seeking only to have your ego needs served, your sensory needs served, this is what the scripture in Deuteronomy is calling choosing death or curse. It is a reactive path to life. Called so because quite often, whenever we do not get what we want, we have some sort of a psychological, emotional hissy fit, right? Basically, if you just think about it, each of us in our own way, you don't get what you want, we have our own personal hissy fit. Even somebody sees it, it's going on in our head, okay? So the thing to note is eventually you will see the light that will transform you into a being of sharing, but the way of the reactive path is a way of suffering. And suffering is a way to spirit, but according to the GPS and MapQuest, it is definitely not the best route to take, right? You even got Pamela laughing at that one again. It is not the best route to take, but it's the path that we all seem to choose, okay? So the suffering created by our ego's need to be stroked will take you through many trials and tribulations before reaching your spiritual destination. While on the other hand, as the Lord God suggested, there is a road that leads to life. It is what the Kabbalah calls the proactive path. The proactive path is where we consciously choose to use the spiritual tools that God has given us to make powerful choices that cultivate love and peace and joy in our life and affairs and in the life and affairs of others. And yes, I agree that living proactively is not easy. Why? Because living reactively is such a highly addictive drug. We react to everything, okay? And, you know, it's like a drug. It's almost like we can't help ourselves. But as it says in the book, The Way, by Rabbi Berg, is we are hooked on the euphoria reactive living. I'm sorry, let me read that again. He said, we are hooked on the euphoria reactive living can provide, okay? The drug of reaction has become so much a part of our lives that we're not even aware that we are addicted to it, okay? And it just, I just made this little joke up, you know, the street names for these self-serving drugs consumed by our ego are my way, they call it, these are drugs, my way, me, mine, as in my possessions, my money, my fame, my power, my needs, you know, just to name a few. And those are drugs for us. You know, we're addicted to those. And yes, this is part of the paradox of the human spiritual journey, because it is a fact that we all have realistic needs we adamantly feel must be filled. Okay? I know I have needs that I feel must be filled. Pamela has needs that must be filled. I know all of you out there could name needs you feel that must be filled. Okay? So that's why I'm calling it the paradox of the human spiritual experience. And this lesson is not about denying our needs. It's about transformation. So if you're wondering, how does one who is living life reactively eventually transform from reactive to proactive living? It is by the moment-by-moment practice of remembering to strengthen your connection to spirit. Now listen to this. By turning to the most obvious source you have, that God is present and active in your life and affairs. And that obvious sign is your breath. Breathe God in and exhale ego out. And that's what I do when I'm doing my my meditation. It's part of one of the mantras I do. I exhale. As I'm exhaling, I say, I let go. As I inhale, I let God. And even when I finish my meditation, I usually will keep that mantra going on in my head for a while. All right. Now, Rumi said, things are such that if someone is mindfully lifting a cup, now listen to this, this is Rumi. If someone is mindfully lifting a cup of tea, or watching the rainfall, or petting a dog, or singing, just simply singing, they could be doing as much to connect with God as the most disciplined monk. I like that. All right? So I leave you with this affirmation to contemplate this week. Today I allow myself to simply be. I breathe in, I breathe out, and know that God is breathing with me in the stillness of this moment. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have a meditation with Pamela.
So let's prepare ourselves by becoming still, relaxing our bodies. And as we prepare to enter into meditation, please enjoy this peaceful pause and know that these next moments are just for you. This is your respite for the beginning of your day. Begin by taking in a deep cleansing breath. And close your eyes if it's comfortable for you to do so. Allow the flow of thoughts to continue to stream through your mind. Just let them float by without any criticism or judgment. Gently shift your focus to your breath and notice your thoughts and feelings as they begin to soften. Relax. We can only take one breath at a time. We can only be in one place at a time. You are here now in this moment, in this breath. Let your shoulders relax. Let your hands relax. Let your mind relax. Be present to the subtle energy of your own body. Be here as your breath breathes you and your heart beats in a steady rhythm. No thought, no effort. Just be here now. Make the whole connection of spirit, mind, and body. Your holiness is ever present as you embrace spirit expressing as you, body, and soul. Feel the connection as Spirit moves through every aspect of your life. You are whole and holy, filled with the love that is innate within you. And now allow yourself to be transported to that secret place of the Most High, where peace, love, joy, and faith abide. As we reach the threshold to the door of the secret place, we remember to let go and let God. Let go of baggage, emotional and mental, that is not serving you. And let go of baggage that is physical. Step through the door and take your seat. And right here, take another deep breath in. And exhale. And use this precious time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Take another deep breath and feel the wholeness of life as it flows through you. Feel the energy and awareness of your body as you gently return in gratitude for all God has done and continues to do in your life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers today and you have answered them as you always do. Now, as you open your eyes, you see a fresh new day ahead, a day to be lived one whole and holy moment at a time. And remember that at the Unity Center of Light, we are always here for you. We give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and so it will be. Amen.
Thank you, hon. Mm-hmm. That was really great.
Thank you.
So, this is the time that we take the time to hold the offering that we give to Unity Center of Light, hold it in our hand, in our mind. I know many of you, which we really appreciate, give through automatic debit. Many of you give automatically through PayPal and other sources, and we truly appreciate that. So we ask you to just, you know, hold that offering in your consciousness and just be mindful and prayerful of the connection you have with the universe through your spiritual home and through your own, you know, prayers and meditations that you hopefully are doing every day. And by holding that in mind, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work
being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. And to bless the path that we will walk this week, we're going to say it with passion, zeal, and gusto. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. So let's, we again enjoy bringing this service to you today, and we're going to do our, prayer for protection together. So let's say that together as we end. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth. All right. Okay. So we, again, thank you so much for being with us today, and we will see you soon.